Welcome to another edition of Lex Talk History, a podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Now, here's your hosts, Lexington History Museum Executive Director Mandy Higgins and WUKY's own Alan Lytle.
Welcome back to Lex Talk History. I'm Alan Lytle, and Mandy is with me today in the studio. And wow, May has come and gone, and now we're looking at June here.
Thank God. It's time. May was great. We had a great May at the museum, lots of end-of-the-year field trips and folks coming in, some really exciting things in development that we're excited about for later in the fall, so you'll have to keep listening to learn about those things. But it's great. I'm so ready for the summer.
Yes, and the tours, they will continue to increase.
They will continue to increase. And we are a participant in the Cultural Pass this year through LexArts. So any of you with children in the public schools, you should receive a free Cultural Pass, which gets a child and an adult into the museum. And there's a little bit of activity for them. So come see us Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays at 210 North Broadway. And then, teachers, I know you don't want to think about this because it's summer. But as you start planning your lesson plans, history teachers, for the fall, our traveling trunk will be debuting.
Oh, yes, the traveling trunk.
For school year 2026-2027, we're putting the last touches on it, but it looks at Lexington in the Age of Revolution. So we're talking about 1775 through about 1800 and how the city developed, how it experienced the Revolutionary War. And we know that Kentucky requires you to bring in Kentucky history, so you might as well bring in home history while you're doing it. It'll be great activities for students geared third grade to eighth grade, and hands-on reading, maps, all kinds of things.
So the learning never ends.
Never ends.
You know, and we've got some knowledge to drop on our listeners today about some things that are happening in June.
Yeah, we're so excited. So let's get into our June podcast. Before I introduce our guests, as usual, I'm going to give a quick overview. So June, of course, is there are lots of things that happen in Lexington, but we're particularly excited about Juneteenth celebrations this year. Quick history of Juneteenth and why it matters in Lexington. Juneteenth was coined after General Order Number 3 that General Gordon Granger gave in June of 1865, now in Texas, so very far away from us. But did you know, Alan, that General Gordon Granger is buried in Lexington Cemetery?
I did not know that.
Yes. So Lexington has a piece of that history. In 2021, Juneteenth was made a federal holiday by the Biden administration. And all of this is about the Emancipation Proclamation and the end of enslavement in the United States. So in 1863, Abe Lincoln, who we were talking about earlier, Kentuckian Abe Lincoln.
Everybody claims him,
but I'm going to give us him for a minute. His 9 years in Kentucky mattered. And his wife, Mary Todd. So Abraham Lincoln, 16th President of the United States, proclaims the Emancipation Proclamation to go into effect January 1st, 1863. It freed all enslaved individuals in the rebelling states. Now, the important piece here is that rebelling states, because Kentucky, even though your history teacher probably told you otherwise, was not a rebelling state in the Civil War. It remained in the Union, which meant that the Emancipation Proclamation did not apply to enslaved individuals in Kentucky. So there was a variety of freedom days across Kentucky. In Western Kentucky, the 8th of August is often celebrated as a freedom day that's very similar to Juneteenth. But enslaved Kentuckians who remained enslaved throughout the Civil War earned freedom in two ways, basically three. Escape. We have very well-known stories of escaped enslaved individuals who went on to live incredible lives. In 1864, men could enroll in the United States Colored Troops, and Camp Nelson in Jessamine County is one of the largest places for that enrollment and that enlistment. We've talked with Steve and Amy about Camp Nelson and how great they were.
Yeah.
And then finally, in December of 1865, the 13th Amendment was ratified. And that is actually when Kentuckians of all races, regardless of status, are deemed free. So Kentucky has this very longer in history of enslavement than many places. But that doesn't mean we don't value and celebrate and have a meaning and a connection to Juneteenth beyond Gordon Granger. And today we're going to talk about this year's Juneteenth celebrations. We have Martina Barksdale, who is head of Soul Feast, and Russell Allen, who is my dear friend that I love to embarrass, but who has been, he and DeBron Thomas and a number of us have been working for probably 3 years now. Really dedicated on getting an EJI marker that's going to be dedicated as part of Soul Feast Week. Thank you for being here, Martina and Russell.
Yeah, thanks for having.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Martina, we'll start with you. Tell us a little bit about Soul Feast Week, where it came from, what you're doing.
Yeah, so Soul Feast Week is a 10-day celebration of Black culinary and agriculture in Central Kentucky. We've partnered with Black Soil Kentucky since inception. And so everything that you have during the week, at least one ingredient, is sourced directly from a Black farmer here in Kentucky. It was 2020, which a lot of the racial injustice was at its height. The pandemic was at its peak. And I wanted a way to give back. So I started the hashtag 19 Days of Black Biz Challenge, where for 19 days leading up until Juneteenth, I supported a different Black-owned business, got a little bit of media attraction, so I decided to do like an online directory of Black businesses. I've always been a foodie, have worked in the hospitality industry for well over, 15 years now. And so I wanted to do a Black Restaurant Week. I went to my twin brother. He said, let's do it. But we wanted to take it a step further. We actually needed a way to fund the restaurant week. We've been throwing events since we were 10. So we decided to do these curated events surrounding the week in order to help amplify the Lexington as a Juneteenth regional destination. And so, yeah, Soul Feast Week was born. You gave such a great comprehensive history of how Kentucky has played a part in this. And we just wanted to be a part of that conversation, highlight the history and the Black-owned businesses in the city. So,
awesome. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the events people can expect, some of the things that we can do this year and how that's sort of evolved over the last few years?
Yeah, it's hard to believe we're going into year six. but this year we are at all new venues. We're going to do the kickoff soiree. It will be presented by the Lexington Black Prosperity Initiative, part of this partnership with EJI and The Marker, and really amplifying that as a Bluegrass Community Foundation, partner. And then that will be on Thursday at the Melroy. And then on Friday, Juneteenth, will be our annual cocktails and cigars. It's always a crowd favorite. We'll be at BC's Garage, which is a new cocktail and cigar lounge here in Lexington. Hasn't even opened. So we're going to kind of be that kickoff for that. Then Saturday, we've been at Moondance Amphitheater for the last few years, but we'll be downtown at Gatton Park for our free Juneteenth festival. There'll be programming. That is where the marker dedication will be happening as well. And then on that Sunday, we'll be at the Vine for our gospel brunch. Chef Isaiah Screech, 2023 James Beard nominee, has been working with us for several years. So that will be a treat. And then that evening will be our finale at Gray Line Station. A lot of our participating Black-owned restaurants are based out of there as well. So super excited to highlight them. And then we'll go into our Black Restaurant Week, which we've expanded outside of Lexington for the state of Kentucky. So not as many restaurants, but this is our first year moving outside of Lexington. And we're hoping to, support that as well as the agriculture in this great state.
Incredible. So we've mentioned the EJI marker a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
Russell, tell us a little bit about Well, let's talk a little bit about Mr. Benjamin, and then we'll talk about the marker and the things.
Sure. So the EJI marker that everybody mentioned that we'll be dedicating this Juneteenth kind of season is in honor of a man named RCO Benjamin. Now, when we talk about these monuments all the time, there was a lot of folks unnamed, unknown, that experienced racial terror lynchings during this period, and that's kind of what the EJI situation is about. But Mr. Benjamin, and I've loved doing this through my time of learning about him, was actually like a really, really prolific Lexingtonian and just an American, really. So like, he was born in St. Kitts. He was kind of like a traveler for a long time. He eventually came over to the States when he was 14, but he was well-read. He was learned. He was a lawyer. He was a poet. He also had a newspaper. He was a newspaper editor in Lexington. It was called the Kentucky or Lexington Standard, depending on what you think. So he did a lot of good work just in this community. Just, he was very fiery. I have this quote that because I think a lot of people, what they do is when we talk about these people in their lives, as time goes on, it becomes sanitized to the actions. But Mr. Benjamin was a radical man, and if you're able to search and read some of his writings, he really spoke truth to power. So I wanted to read this quote about Mr. Benjamin. He wrote a sarcastic letter. He was planning to be a politician. And actually try to put together an all-black slate that would, at the time, go to the Republican National Convention. And if anybody knows history, some of the, I guess, the qualities you see in the Democratic Party was actually reflected in the Republican Party around the 1800s and slavery and Reconstruction. But he was writing a letter to them, and it was very cheeky. And the quote back from a Washington newspaper was, "Benjamin is a bright man and a good fellow, but like all radicals, is sometimes rash, indiscreet, and given to error. But he is right oftener than he is wrong. And if more Negroes possessed his brain and manhood, the racist cause would move forward with a rush." So that's just like, I think, pretty much encapsulates everything that I've been able to read about him. And while we're honoring him on Juneteenth, is he was actually registering folks to vote in the Irishtown precinct. And I think a lot of black people in Lexington know where Irishtown is. When he encountered a man by the name of Michael Moyan. And they had a disagreement in which he was assaulted. And then Mr. Moyan actually tracked Mr. Benjamin down at a later time, and he was shot in the back over six times, or at least six times. And that that story kind of resonates with me on a number of levels with what's going on in the world right now. We see our Voting Rights Act that kind of was like the underpinning of all the work that kind of started from that period being gutted, and all of the black voting power being dispersed and kind of diluted. And then also on top of that, you see all the racial terror shootings. Like, you can see like a one-to-one or like a symmetry in what happened to Mr. Benjamin. So we just want to honor a Lexingtonian like that. I think that's important, just being from Kentucky. I think Mandy even touched on this. A lot of people misconstrue our history, and we actually have a really rich black history, a really rich radical history. So I'm glad we're finally getting to highlight that.
Yeah, I mean, this has been work that you have been a part of since at least 2018. Can you talk a little bit about one, trying to get the marker and working with EJI, and two, why Mr. Benjamin is where we started?
Okay, yeah. So with the EJI marker, if you want to go back to 2018, that was towards the end of the movement Take Back Cheapside that I co-founded with my friend DeBron Thomas. We got two Confederate monuments removed from our downtown square. And in that work, we had a three-point plan, which is, of course, there was a monument speaking to the fact that Lexington's downtown square was actually a slave auction market. And that marker was vandalized and destroyed. We wanted that marker put back. Of course, we wanted the statues removed. And then the third point was a more overarching point, which is we wanted to make that space safe and inclusive for everyone. And one of the things that we highlighted was telling history. So in 2018, we reached out to EJI, but we were unable to complete the mission. And I think last year or the year before that. Hadil Abdullah, a UK student, I think, if people heard me say that name, everybody just went, oh my God, because just a very prolific human being, but was able to contact them and reconnect that kind of thread with EJI. And ever since then, we've been going downhill on getting this particular marker done. And as far as Mr. Benjamin, why we're going for it, it's kind of slipping my mind. So I'm not 100% sure why we're going to start with Mr. Benjamin.
part some like inside baseball of this. Part of the application was proving that these events happened, which is Martina's making a face, and that's correct, right? Like there was sort of a there's an impetus that to make sure that if we're going to put this in pressed metal, that we're telling the truth and we have proof. And Lex, as you mentioned earlier, Russell, there are hundreds of people who experienced racial terror, lynching, and racial violence that we don't always have names for, and we're not able to historically to provide the historical evidence for in the same way. And that's really frustrating. And Mr. Benjamin's story was so well covered that it was very much a, you know, for us as we were doing, and I say us because I did some of the background research. This was really LBPI and Russell and DeBron, but and Hadil, but you know, I'm gonna ride those coattails too. That research was a slam dunk in our mind, so that's where we went. And thanks to folks like George Wright and Miss Yvonne Giles, who have done this research. Miss Giles, you know, found Mr. Benjamin's marker in African Cemetery Number 2. We were able to do that, but it was a bit of a battle, to use a little bit of a violent word, because Mr. Benjamin is not only the victim of racial terror violence, but he's also the victim of political violence. As Russell said, he was, you know, murdered as he was getting folks registered to vote. And EJI, we had to kind of go back and forth with them, didn't we, Russell?
Yeah, definitely. And that's just what we wanted to make sure that we were kind of honoring and highlighting in Mr. Benjamin's story specifically is we're talking about all of these unsung stories, and a lot of, you know, just work, for lack of a better term, is lost in that. So we wanted to make sure that when we were highlighting the stories in Lexington, that we highlighted a person who was as prolific as Mr. Benjamin, and that was actually pushing towards like an actual goal per se. Because a lot of people, like the nastiest part about racial terror lynchings is a lot of these people were doing basic activities, living life. They were going to the store. They bumped into a person accidentally. They weren't quote unquote threats. And we just wanted to heighten and kind of highlight the fact that Mr. Benjamin was pursuing the world that we're still pursuing today. So I think that is a good like through line to see that like that work is really never finished.
So we did it.
Yes.
It's coming.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about what folks can experience when they come on June 20th to Gatton for both the big celebration and for, the marker dedication.
Yeah. For us, it was really important that the marker dedication, it was the highlight. All the work that, people before us, our ancestors have done, and the work like Russell and DeBron, we wanted to make sure to showcase that. So that will be literally in the middle of Soulteenth Fest. We want to make sure as many people are there to support those untold stories. And it is very timely. It's always been timely, and it's not going anywhere. So not only can you experience this great marker dedication and, you know, being part of history. This is history. It gets me so excited because this is history. But you'll also be able to experience food and different programming. We're highlighting local artists and makers and chefs and even some spirit brands and tastings, because you know, we want to highlight what this city has to offer, the blood, sweat, and tears that made this happen, and it's bigger than us, right? So not only are you going to get a taste of history and legacy, but you're going to have fun, food, fellowship, and family. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be a good time. We're going to be dancing, a little line dancing, some DJs, old school versus new school. So there, it's just going to be a really, really great time, and I'm honored that we're able to do it on the soil that this happened, and at Gatton Park, a new downtown park that we're increasing accessibility. So this is free. I mean, donations still accepted because we got to raise money. But, you know, even with all of our events, we do a proud to pay pricing to create less of a barrier for people to come and have a good time here. So
you made a good point, and I hope, Russell, you can pick it up. On the soil.
Mm-hmm.
So why is this marker going in Gatton? Can you make that connection with?
So, yeah. So actually, when we were doing the research and locking in, we were able to pinpoint the actual area where Mr. Benjamin would have been slain is in that area of Gatton Park. So when we were talking about that, it was very important that because there are other lynchings that have happened in Lexington that have different areas, but it was very important that this one, kind of going to your point of why we went with this one first, it was very important that it was in a centralized location where people can be, where people will be, so they can see that and make sure that the maximum amount of people are able to interact with that and engage with that information and reflect on what it means. Just like, this is our park, this is our communal space, but there are times where that communal space can be, that peace can be kind of shaken. So just hopefully people think about what that means. And the soil collection is a EJI kind of staple thing, which is to kind of, for me personally, it kind of signifies like collecting the energy, collecting the spirit of what happened in that space, because a lot of people are like, you know, the earth and us, we're all connected, and like, There is like memory, like to a certain extent, that is like housed in that space. So collecting that soil, collecting that memory, that remembrance, is really important to that project. And that was like one of the most powerful things to me when I was able to go and see it in Alabama, is just the wall of clay, dirt, potting soil, like all different types of dirt, different regional things that are a part of the earth, but that kind of ties together just how prevalent those racial terror lynchings were.
Yeah, so that soil collection will happen as part of the dedication ceremony. And what EJ asks is that two jars are collected. One jar remains in the community, and one jar is sent back to Birmingham. So the jar that is going to remain in Lexington will be part of the Lexington History Museum collection. And on display, we'll obviously loan it. If folks want it at a church or it needs to go somewhere, we're happy to loan it out. But so Juneteenth is the big day, right? Mm-hmm. The Solfi celebration is the big day. In October, on October 1st, which was the last day that Mr. Benjamin was alive, we will be having the soil dedication ceremony at the museum and a live reading of a radio play about Mr. Benjamin's life. So this is, you know, we get to kick it off and keep it going with his legacy. We missed something, though. What time should people come to Gatton?
Yeah, so we'll be at Gatton 2 p.m. to 9 p.m. The dedication will be around that 4:30-ish. We are still firming up the programming. But yeah, I would say I would love for people to be there all day. But if you want to get there about 4 o'clock, we'll be kicking off the dedication shortly after.
Is there anything else you want to share with listeners about this or any of the work?
No, I just continue to support. You get to choose where you spend your money. You get to choose where you spend your time. And this is really a community effort. And I believe in collaboration because we are stronger together. We can go further together. And so just follow Soul Feast Week and support the cause, support the tickets, and please be at the dedication because that's what I'm looking forward to the most about this full week. I know there's a lot of different moving parts, but we really do want you to support the great people in this community, and this is one way to do that.
Yeah, and we can put up a link mm-hmm. on this podcast to Soul Feast Week, mm-hmm. and you get all that information at your fingertips.
Yep.
Thank you all so much. We're so excited for the whole week and for the marker dedication and to really, you know, to see what 8 years of effort have led to.
Yeah.
Thank you guys for coming in today. And Mandy, a lot of stuff happening at the museum for the month of June. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, Cultural Pass, so that'll start June 8th because, you know, we're in school till forever. So that'll start the week of June 8th. June 19th will be a free day at the museum, 12 to 4. So after you celebrate a sense of place in Fort Springs or whatever else you're doing, from 12 to 4, come out to the museum. We'll have a number, you know, our exhibits will be open. You can learn a lot about Lexingtonians who have made a difference and who have found ways to celebrate and find freedom in the United States. And then we, you know, we'll be doing our thing through most of June. And in July,
you know, I was going to ask about July because so that's July, coming up.
Oh, how is July already coming up? July is technically the 250th anniversary of the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So while the museum will continue to have Intersections up, which was our exhibit for Lexington's 250, because we are older than the United States.
Just saying.
That will run through July. And on this here podcast, we will have something a little different. Local guy that I met months ago has been researching a cabin that was built somewhere around 1775 in South Lexington. And he's going to tell us a little bit about the story and its connection to some early Lexington Revolutionary War figures. His name is Eric McAnallen, and we'll learn a little bit about the Bryan Cabin for the July podcast. And that ties in nicely to America 250.
Oh, man, is that a nice smooth tease. Yeah, that'll get us really going here. But a lot of stuff happening, though, in June, especially with Soul Feast and the EJI marker and everything at Gatton Park. So that is all the time we have for today on Lex Talk History. And we will see you again next month.
You've been listening to Lex Talk History, a monthly podcast produced in collaboration with WUKY and the Lexington History Museum. Subscribe to our show wherever you get your podcasts or download Lex Talk History from the podcast page at WUKY.org. And if you haven't done so already, please make plans to visit the Lexington History Museum soon. Get started on your tour at lexhistory.org.